This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, Sturf, what are you doing?
Oh, hello, Bill. Oh, I'm just making an Easter basket, filling it with lots of treats and goodies for our fans, you see.
Don't you usually put, like, I don't know, jelly beans and chocolates in those?
Hello, don't be so pedestrian. Our fans are individuals with refined taste. We've got to measure up.
I don't know, Stir Fry. That's a lot of hooves to put in an Easter basket. And all these thorns?
Thorns are herb, Cordelia. Thorns are herb.
You don't need to worry about wowing people with your Easter basket.
But why, Cordelia?
Don't be a fool, Stairfry. You know good and well our fans will be swept away in joy and ecstasy after our in-person live show the night before.
Live show? Oh, you mean Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders.
Yes, it's Saturday, March 30th.
Right. And we're doing it in some back alley in some nameless old town?
No, Sturf. We're doing it at the Bell House, right in the heart of Brooklyn.
Oh, of course, now I remember. Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders. Live at the Bell House on Saturday, March 30th. Doors at 6:30, show at 7.
And tickets are on sale now. I just bought mine at RudeTalesOfMagic.com.
This is fantastic. And you know what? I'm still going to add a few tumbleweeds to my Easter basket just to spruce it up.
Those freaks will love it.
You heard right, Credence. The Class Dismissed Gang returns to the stage in an all-new live show. That's Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders, live at the Bell House in Brooklyn, Saturday, March 30th, 7 p.m. Buy your tickets today or be tortured to death.
Well, well, well. Look who came crawling back to Rude Tales of Magic. You did. And who could blame you? We're a critically acclaimed show, beloved by dozens. And we left things 2 weeks ago on such good terms. We didn't even say anything about the fact that you travel everywhere by crawling on your belly, like Sadako coming out of the television in Ringu. And so we here at Rude Tales of Magic welcome you as you come crawling back. I hope you brushed your genitals up against a nice, smooth river rock, and it felt good as hell. Well, on with the show. I'm chained to a gun magazine.
Ah, Piss Harbor. The town so nice they named it once. Not every phrase rhymes, by the way. But that's neither here nor there. You know what else isn't here? Most of the town's bounty hunters. There's a big bounty hunter convention happening miles and miles away in the city of New Paola, leaving only a small number of bounty hunters behind. And folks, the city is in chaos. There are bounties left unhunted as far as the eye can see. It seems like everywhere you look, there's petty criminals minding their own business. Oh, it's unthinkable. I refuse to show you the disgusting scene. You know, I've shown a lot of nasty stuff on this show, and I've even relished in doing so, but this is the lie. This far, but no further. Today, Branson Reese becomes a liberal. Ha ha! Just kidding. But the camera does drift away from this. Not for political reasons, but because I didn't write any copy for it. We drift all the way across town to an empty park. The Piss Harbor All Who Fell Memorial Park. It's after dark, and two figures are up to some visually interesting business under the lights under the park's baseball diamond. Chris, Timbo, what are we looking at here?
Chris here. You see an absolutely jacked centaur with a big biker mustache, big wraparound shades, big bleached hair, and a big horse bottom half of his body. It's Jonathan Large, baby.
Tim here. You also see Tommy Whistle, a frogman cowboy. Maybe lean, though sometimes he might not be lean anymore. He's mostly naked. He's got a big cowboy hat and a revolver, but this time he's holding a flag. A yellow flag? But looking closer, it's not just yellow. It's yellow and black? It's a yellow and black checkered flag? He waves it in front of Jonathan Large on his... On his what?
I'm not ready to race yet, Tommy. I've only just gotten on top of a horse for the first time of my life.
That's right. Jonathan Large, a centaur, is riding on top of a horse.
I'm going to go ahead and make a strength saving throw for that horse.
Yeah, good idea. Jonathan Large is dense.
Ooh. Chris, I rolled a 5. The horse crumbles underneath you.
Farts. That's the 5th horse that crumbled under my weight.
Tommy Whistle throws the flag to the side and rushes up.
Now you gotta learn the most important part about riding a horse.
Okay, tell me, cowboy.
You care for it when it falls.
Tommy Whistle takes the cheek of the horse and gives it some sugar.
That's all right. That's all right, little one. One day, you'll be ridden again.
A team of small ponies with a stretcher, they rush up, like, hop, 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 hop. They put the horse on the stretcher and hop, 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 take it away, and you see a row of 5 other horses all in casts and neck braces. One's in an iron lung.
Jonathan, as your peer and co-worker, I gotta say, I'll keep on teaching you to ride if you really wanna, but I suggest you stop riding horses if they keep on dying.
Oh, thank you, Tommy. And it was inspiring to see you give that little bit of kindness to that creature. No one ever gave old Jonathan a sugar cube when he was but a pony.
Hey, kid. Catch.
What?
You're mean-joeing him?
Okay, so Tommy flicks with his froggish thumb a sugar cube into the air. It flips, 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 like a cube spinning it does. Like a cube, landing into Jonathan's... What?
Hand.
Yes! I love this game.
Wow.
No game, you didn't roll, you just said that.
And it works, I did get a 6.
All right, listeners, Tim just mimed rolling a dice and then just said, it works. And I let him. I am asleep at the wheel, fans.
Now, Jonathan, I gotta say, I'm happy to keep teaching you to ride a horse if you want, but why don't you want to go out with the rest of the bounty hunters?
Oh, you mean at that convention?
Indeed, the same convention I myself am avoiding.
Oh, boy. Can I confess something embarrassing to you?
Tommy takes off his hat.
If you confessing, then I'm undressing.
I am absolutely certain that I've got an ex-girlfriend at that convention, and I'd rather not see her.
Go on. I myself am no stranger to heartbreak, especially heartbreak within those communities, social and artistic, that I'm involved in.
Yeah, thank you, Tommy. Thank you. Gosh. Yeah, an absolutely still gorgeous cyclops. Her name was Vegana von Pipebomb, and she was a brilliant manhunter and still is, but, you know, she turned eco-terrorist, and I had to say goodbye because, you know, I was, you know, I just thought that I was distracting her from her passion.
I understand. No one likes to feel like they are in the way of growth.
Yeah.
I myself have an ex-girlfriend at that same convention.
No fucking way, dude! What?
No, it's true.
No, tell me about it, man. Come on.
You actually want to hear about it? You actually want to hear from me?
Oh, yeah, brother.
Her name was Slay Catholic.
Slay Catholic?
She wanted to have kids, but I wasn't ready. I don't think I'll ever be ready to raise something smaller than me.
Just then, both of you hear a voice coming from the base of your skulls.
Hey, guys. Miss Moonlight here. Who do I got here? Who's in town?
You got Tom a Whistle.
And Jonathan Large here.
Oh, Jonathan Large and Tommy Whistle. Well, I got a hot bounty for you. Why don't you come shake those hot little asses of yours over to the Moonlight Value Bounties headquarters?
Jonathan, do you mind if I take a ride with you?
Oh, boy. Oh, you mean, like, on me?
If it ain't too much to presume, I feel like, for the first time, I'm really making a connection.
Tommy, you've shown me a great kindness today, and, while I was an independent pony years ago, now I have half the goodness of man, and part of that is its generosity. Come on board, partner!
Using his frog-like legs. Frog-like? They're dang frog legs! Tommy hops into the air, landing upon the back of Jonathan Arch.
I'm hoping you won't take offense when I say, giddy up.
All right, we find ourselves now at the current location of the Moonlight Value Bounties headquarters. Every previous location has burned to the ground, but I've got a really good feeling about this one. It's located this time in the back room of the Yankee Candle's Extra Dry Log Cabin location on the east side of Piss Harbor, next to the donut place with the yellow sign and the lady who doesn't like when you tip her for some insane reason, even though you're literally trying to be nice and you're gonna keep tipping her regardless, because on some level you feel like you're part of a social experiment to see if they can pressure an otherwise noble man into not tipping. Newsflash, assholes, you cannot. You sit in wooden chairs as a large half-elf, half-orc, all-woman steps out. She's dressed like Cher in the If I Could Turn Back Time music video, and she always has been. If you didn't guess that already, you're not in trouble, but my estimation of you has gone down slightly.
Hey guys, I know we got a bit of a skeleton crew tonight, but that's okay with me. I've always been drawn to the Halloween community myself, skeletons in particular. But I wouldn't say no to a Frankenstein or two.
She gets a far-off look in her eyes and plays with her hair before collecting herself.
Oh, forgot myself for a second there. Tommy, Jonathan, say hello to your new partner for tonight. He's an exciting up-and-coming bounty hunter. Hey, I'll let him introduce himself.
Zach, who do we got here with us?
Oh, well, sitting in the corner of the room, lit by just sort of a wall of heavy-ass monitors clicking and clacking on sort of a battle station of keyboards and computers pressing buttons everywhere. You see this rail-thin blonde man with pulled-back, you know, slick-back Matrix C character hair forming into just sort of this, like, long ponytail with the sharpest point you can imagine, sort of gelled into sort of a spear end. You see Max Login, little tiny sunglasses on his face as he clicks, presses enter, and says, "I'm in," and turns around for the mission that is, and nods to both of you.
Huh? That's a lot of computer for a little fella.
Thanks. It was all really expensive. I'm in a lot of debt.
Oh my god, that must be so stressful.
It is. You see, these computers, for my profession, you need the most powerful computers to get inside the most powerful of databases. If you don't know what any of that is, imagine crystals combined with more crystals into even more crystals. And all of it contains one important thing, information.
Wow.
As you say that, Max, one of the panels on one of your computers, it falls open and we see it's packed with crystals and there's a tiny pixie in there, just like a switchboard operator, just like moving crystals from one spot to another. He turns to the camera Flintstonesingly and says, "It's a living," before the panel fixes itself.
It's pretty hot in there. I should get him a little cooling tower.
He's drenched in sweat.
Well, dang, Max. All that technical mumbo-jumbo don't mean squat to me. I'm just out here to get bounties, take bounties, and use them for whatever I end up doing. I haven't revealed that yet. So, so you want to hunt people just for your computer habit?
Look, it's a means to an end. I don't enjoy taking people who are sort of fighting the man in their own way, but it's the only way I can get out of this insurmountable debt.
Right, but you gotta admit that there is sort of a cyclical nature to your predicament where you got the computer, but now you must do the work that you gotta do to get out of the computer.
I'm not following.
It's technical mumbo-jumbo to me, I guess.
Maybelline Moonlight clears her throat and goes, Okay, if the frog cowboy is gonna big dick a guy's deal, we're gonna be here all night.
Hey.
Yeah, hey, Tommy, I think this guy's all right.
I don't know. He's got to earn my respect.
Okay.
Sure.
It wouldn't be the first time I did that. Challenge accepted.
All right. These three unlikely companions face Miss Maybelline together.
She goes, all right, boys, play nice. So, tonight's bounty is a real nasty one. As you may remember, the Piss Harbor mayoral election was held just a few weeks ago. I know bounty hunters are forbidden from voting, lest the city pass too much pro-bounty hunter legislation, but if you paid any attention whatsoever to the race, you'll remember Boneyard McKinley.
She hits a visual Kenku's head, and it projects a Thomas Nast-style political cartoon of Boneyard McKinley onto the wall. He's a broad human man, dressed in the traditional mayoral garb of a sash.
Boneyard ran for mayor under the extremely unpopular platform of, fuck you people, I deserve to rule you as a cruel and petty tyrant.
She hits the Kenku's head again, and you see buttons displaying the wordy campaign slogan, as well as a button depicting Boneyard McKinley wearing a golden crown and sitting atop a throne of nude human men.
Boneyard made history by becoming the first mayoral candidate in Piss Harbor history to receive 0 votes in the election. Now, usually candidates receive at least their own vote, but his personal ballot was eaten by a seagull. As a result of receiving 0 votes, Boneyard McKinley has declared himself the anti-mayor of Piss Harbor and has taken it upon himself to commit acts of civic chaos and domestic terrorism. His bounty is set at 600,000 gold, which, oh boy, that's pretty low for what he's doing. But with just 3 of you splitting it, it really adds up to a chunk of change. At least 100,000 gold each. Probably more. I'm more of a humanities girl, tee-hee. Anyway, Boneyard was last seen outside of City Hall, trying to set it on fire with a liquid he calls gasoline. We also call it that. It's a known substance. I don't know why I phrased it like that. I'm such a delightful mystery in my way. Any questions? They can be about me. We've got some extra time tonight.
Maybelline, were you a bounty hunter before you became a bounty broker?
She looks away and her face is in shadow. She goes,
I thought that's a chapter of my life I had put away forever.
Oh, she never mind then. It's fine. I don't have to.
No, it's okay. I just thought I had put it away forever. Yeah, I used to be a bounty hunter. That's how I met Moose. You know, your friend with whom I have a sexual present.
I think that's so wonderful. I think, you know, I care so much about you. It is a comfort to me to know that some nights you make each other feel good.
Some afternoons, too. Hell, even some mornings.
Oh, terrific.
Miss Maybelline, I got a question. As an aficionado of hierarchy, I gotta ask. If we take out the anti-mayor, will someone step up to take their place, like a deputy, or a vice mayor, or a secretary of treasury, or something of that ilk?
That's where we've got him. This man is so obsessed with power that he doesn't have anyone beneath him in the chain of command. So if you take him out, all of the vice mayor's powers will disintegrate. And make no mistake, he does have powers. Those with civically elected members of the Piss Harbor, you know, government, they cannot hurt him. But he also cannot hurt them. That's why you guys have to step in and take this one out.
Wow. The anti-mayor. You gotta respect the disruption. It's gonna be a shame to take him down.
I mean, I guess.
No, it makes sense. No, it does make sense.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
As an aficionado of hierarchy, I gotta agree with that. It is an inversion of hierarchy that I respect as an academic conversation of what is power, of course.
Guys, I gotta tell you, sometimes I still got horse brain. And I say, like, a mayor is good, right? Because I don't know any other way.
Well, let me break it down to you this way. An anti-mayor is bad.
But Max say he cool.
I mean, he cool. You can respect him. He'd be cool as hell. A lot of the people you hunt down are cool as shit.
No!
He might be cool. That's not up to me. What's up to me is I can give you money if you bring him in, dead or alive.
That's right. The money.
100,000 gold each.
At least. All right. Well, Max, you got computer.
Mm-hmm.
Can it go with you? Because I'm going to be honest. I feel real nervous about all the candles and hay and charcoal and loose gasoline
Flint.
In this building.
Yeah.
You know, I can't bring this whole setup with me, but Max pulls up like a little kid's backpack with some kind of whirring materials in it and like locks a keyboard to his arm. He's like, I got this. It's like my battle station, but a lot worse.
That's fucking sick, man. That's just sick as hell. I wish I understood how to do it. I have an AOL email address that I haven't been able to check in 4 years.
Oh, after this is over, I'm happy to help you get in there.
Oh, my man. All right. Let's go. Let's go check out City Hall and just kill a guy. Huh?
I'm way ahead of you. And just sort of like 5 feet ahead of you.
Oh, cool.
As you guys leave, Miss Maybelline, she sits down on one of the wooden chairs and she rests her arms behind her head and she leans back, almost grazing one of the lit, scented Yankee candles. She says, oh, boars will be boars, I tell you. She narrowly avoids the candle and she sits back upright in her chair. There's a pregnant pause. The computer bursts into flames. Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no! We cut now!
I'm feeling like, should I have taken my computer with me? Was it bad to leave it in there?
Nah, it's all right, because carrying all that stuff around will have gotten in your way. So I think because even I understand that sometimes you don't want to leave something behind because of the sentimental value from it. But even if you didn't leave it behind, it would have gotten in your way.
Out of breath, the narrator catches up to the scene already in progress. City Hall. So this is where the sausage gets made. Always thought it'd be bigger somehow. But it is a pretty large stone building, so I don't know what my problem is. And it's even got a teapot dome, which references nothing in this reality. It just has it. Some phrases don't rhyme, and some architectural choices reference nothing. It's just the way it is in this crazy town I like to call Piss Harbor. Take it away, boys. Sorry.
So we are outside of City Hall right now?
Yes, you've made it to outside of City Hall.
Do we see any disruption of it from the outside, or do we...
Tim. Can you make a perception roll for me?
Oh, gladly. I will gladly do that. It is a... Hey! It's a 3!
A 3?
Yeah!
You see nothing I didn't just tell you.
Jonathan Large lowers his sunglasses and also rolls a perception check.
Taking those sunglasses off? That is like Goku stepping out of the hyperbolic chamber. You wear those sunglasses all the time. So yeah, taking them off now, you get to roll with advantage on this perception.
Yeah, that's right. I train my eyeballs in heaven.
You got muscly eyes. You flex your balls.
I rolled a nat 1. This is horrible.
Luckily, you get advantage.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Bless you. Thanks to the training. Now that's more like it. That is a 17.
17. Standing about 10 or 15 feet in front of Tommy Whistle, you see him. You see Boneyard McKinley with a tankard of gasoline pouring it onto the steps. He lights a match and tosses it down. The fire burns briefly and then it goes out. He goes, catch! Catch, damn you! Why won't you go? Why won't you burn down the city hall? Ha ha ha! My name is Boneyard McKinley. I'm the anti-mayor!
Hmm. I wonder if he understands the, you know, this is sort of a tech expert thing, but I think a lot of times fire has to catch on some sort of kindling.
Kindling, right. So he don't know what kindling is. That means, now pardon if I don't know the terminology, Will, but can you hack into the gasoline and divert it away from the kindling?
There's only one way to find out. Max takes his sunglasses off, but then puts them back on and undoes his keyboard on his arm like he's Yu-Gi-Oh! And starts clicking away and is going to try to make a tech roll.
Yeah, dude, that's, so you're going to try to hack into the gasoline, which is hooked up to nothing. So make an intelligence roll, because that's what I think hacking.
Okay, so I've pretty good intelligence, but...
We are Greek gods making up the rules of nature.
Yeah, it is
true.
That's
right, baby.
I'm rolling my dice on google.com, and I got a natural 20.
You're in. What do you want? You see the ones and zeros of the gas. What do you want that gas to do?
It's beautiful. If I can only find another route away from the, let's say, the steps and into sort of the drain. And I'm just going to look for a drain to send the gasoline down.
Yeah, for a nat, you're rolling on that nat 20 still. You know, you're riding the momentum of that. The whole city, the city hall turns into ones and zeros for you. I almost like highlighted in the ones and zeros, you see a drain nearby. And in fact, it's a little bit, that gravity's on your side here. It's a little bit at an angle down from Boneyard McKinley.
Diverting, and we're in. We're in the drain, I mean.
McKinley, now in the real world, you hear, what? And McKinley is aghast. His gasoline, which should be going all over the steps, it takes a hard right turn out of the nozzle of the gasoline canister, and it flows gently and cleanly down into a drain. It washes harmlessly into the sea.
I look at McKinley and say, looks like you should have used a better firewall, and then lower my sunglasses.
Oh, holy shit, I have no idea what that means, but it sounded good.
Can you make a charisma roll for me?
Yes, I will make a an 11.
An 11?
Mm-hmm.
McKinley hears that and goes, I don't know what that means. I mean, it sounds cool, but I have no idea what you're referencing there. So the full, you know, the full, like, nuance of that insult, it's not going to land on me.
It's not going to work with you, but know that I got it, and I liked it.
It's like being insulted in a foreign language, you know? It's like, I can tell that guy doesn't like me, but I don't know what about me he doesn't like. I'm Boneyard McKinley, prepare to die. And at that, he's going to toss the gasoline tankard behind him. And he says, yes, I recognize the three of you now. Not personally, but I recognize you from your lack of votes for me at the ballot. This, of course, has caused me to become insane and hateful and spiteful. I'm going to take it out on the three of you now. He spreads his hands, and from out behind his mare sash, dozens of sharp, extremely sharp, like origami folded paper ballots begin flying from out from under his mare sash at all of you guys. I need each of you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Ah. Oh no.
Oh no.
5.
16.
6.
Jonathan Large, you are able to dance. You see the, it's almost, maybe, I don't know, maybe you're inspired by Max Login. Who knows? I have no idea what causes this to happen, but you can sort of see the ones and zeros of these origami sharpened ballots coming. They're folded into like ninja stars, mm-hmm, as they fly towards you, and you are able to dance around each of them. Tommy and Max, you are beset upon by paper cuts.
Ugh, if I was playing World of Pisscraft, I definitely could have blocked it.
Oh, the flames were bullets. I'd be dead. But instead, oochie mama, my arm hurt. My skin hurt. My eye hurt. Y'all get it.
What else hurts?
Thanks for asking. My lips, my thigh, my toes.
They hurt?
My neck. Yeah.
All that hurts?
Yeah, it hurts.
I'm in a similar situation. My ears hurt.
Go on.
Sort of my hands hurt.
What else?
Elbows are hurting.
Keep going.
Little gashes on my chest.
I ain't hurt enough. Keep on going.
Okay. My back, this sort of my posture isn't good. I sit on a cardboard box, and I think that might be unrelated.
That might be unrelated.
As you guys take in your surroundings, you see that Boneyard McKinley
has disappeared.
Wounded, Tommy raises his revolver to the air, firing a warning shot.
That's right, you skedaddle.
Could you make an attack roll on the air?
Yeah, sure. 12.
12?
Yeah.
So the world of Cordelia, as we know, has dozens of moons. Many, many moons. One of its smallest and closest moons, no bigger than a softball, you hit it, killing it.
It's all right. I hated what that one did to the Tards. Make him go in and out. Stay put, Tards. Stay put. In my opinion, of course. Friends. I mean, peers. I don't got friends. I'm lonesome.
Oh, well, okay.
Where'd this man go? Just because we're wounded don't mean we don't got no sense about him. We got access to all them dang pixie diamonds and Max's computer. I don't know a dang word for it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Max is just going to look around for any sort of technology or anything on the street that maybe he could hack into. I don't think that there's like CCTV or whatever, but if there's anything, maybe like a street light.
Yeah, yeah. Make a perception roll for me to see what you can find.
All right. That's actually a 17.
Oh!
A 17? That rocks. Okay, the world goes into like a predator heat map of like what you can and can't hack into. And you see a street light nearby you. There's street lamps in this world. Yeah, and it's pretty red. You see a Kenku wandering by you. It's pretty red. And you see some bushes. And you also see some public art. It is a pole at a diagonal angle and children walking up the pole as if to heaven. And that's also pretty red.
So the red is indicating the heat of a person and the art?
The heat of what you could hack into.
Okay.
You also see all around you, you see blues and greens that are just like, there's not a lot of like digital information there.
Got it. I'm going to hack into this Kenku.
Cool.
I'm just going to make a tech roll.
Yeah, make
again.
A hack roll.
Oh, yeah. It's a 17 again.
Oh,
17
yeah.
again. Nice.
Whoa.
You're in. So, Max, around you, the world disappears. It turns into zeros and ones, and they fade away, leaving only a black void. With you in that black void is the Kenku. It's made up of zeros and ones at first, and then it appears. It looks up at you, and it nods. It says,
Kenku. Kenku to you as well. I'm going to hack into your brain now. I hope that's okay.
Not a problem, buddy.
That's my Kenku.
I click and clack on my little keyboard, and Max is sucked into the mouth of the Kenku.
Yeah, so you're like in this sort of digital space with the Kenku, so you're like mm-hmm. in right now. And Tommy and Jonathan, outside of this, you want to tell me what you're actually looking at right now?
What we see is Max sitting crisscross applesauce while he's focusing on his keyboard, but his body keeps flickering in and out, almost like it's not just a flicker like it's on or off, it's almost like it's pulled into the keyboard and out, pulled into the keyboard and out, but it's so subtle and slight it looks almost like blinking.
Yeah, for like a single frame, he'll be just static. You know, he's like glitching a little bit. There's some digital noise to him. He looks like a sort of nasty DVD rip of a movie right now. And we're back in the void with Max and the Kenku. You're hacking in. You're logging for 17. I'm going to let you keep writing this. You can see all of the files inside of the Kenku. You can see like sexual hangups. You see another Kenku sitting on a birthday cake. You move through that. You minimize all of those windows.
You see a
window flashes that says recent memories.
I'm in.
I click on that. Max looks like a bird, like a Kenku in this space now that he's like assimilated
yeah.
with.
A little QuickTime video plays of, it seems like it couldn't have been more than a few hours ago, of a human, it's like from the Kenku's perspective, it's a human woman inside of a nice, like sort of upper middle class home saying, I'm sorry, I have to get a divorce. It's just, it doesn't work. I'm a human and you're a Kenku. We are not sexually compatible. That minimizes and another one pops up and you see Boneyard McKinley. He says, you there, Kenku, record this, record me. My name is Boneyard McKinley. He waves to the Kenku. Remember this forever. I'm Boneyard McKinley. I'm the anti-mayor of Piss Harbor, and I'm going to burn down City Hall. And whether or not it burns, the next place I'm going, well, I'm going to tell you the next place. It's the courtroom. I'm going to the big Piss Harbor courthouse, and I'm going to burn it down. I want everyone to know that. He waves and he does like two peace signs. He crosses his arms and does two peace signs. And he says, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Howard Stern. And he pulls the gasoline flask out and he begins pouring gasoline on the steps. And from there, the video ends.
Max is going to try to see through the eyes of the Kinku and try to talk to his friends in the real world as the Kinku.
Make another tech roll on that. Make another hack roll on this. See if I can ride. Yeah.
That was a 16.
Okay, that's still pretty good. There's some digital noise on your voice as you speak through the Kenku. The Kenku's body language changes to your sort of cool hacker body language. And outside, Tommy and Jonathan, you see Max is still sitting crisscross applesauce focused in, and he's still glitching and flickering, but the Kenku speaks to you in his voice.
Tommy, Jonathan, it's me, Max. Listen.
What?
I don't have much time.
You're a bird now.
No, I'm a bird now, yes.
He strokes his own little digital ponytail, and it's like...
I just watched a recording. He's heading to the courthouse.
All right, Max. We'll go to the courthouse and stop him, but get back into your body. The way you look out there ain't right. You're shimmering like a star that maybe died many millennia ago, which is a fact I still find romantic.
Wow, that's beautiful. Okay.
And so... Max just goes over to his body and starts kind of like throwing up his like digital form out of the Kinku's mouth.
Yeah, dude. It's you barf ones and zeros out of the Kenku bat and it lands on your keyboard and you're like reabsorbed back into yourself.
Wow. Computers are wild, man. Absolutely crazy.
They all do this.
They all do it?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy grabs Max by the collar and lifts him up and takes out his revolver.
Now you promise me you don't do that again. We saw you almost destroy yourself in there, and we lost too many horses. We lost too many friends today to lose another one. Yeah, maybe I gave you a hard time up front. Maybe I've grown to care about you. Maybe I see you like a kid, a son. I'm not ready for kids. I'm not ready for kids. You just promise me you don't go in there like that. On account of you might lose your whole body forever.
Yeah. Something tells me you're not ready to take care of something smaller than you.
How old you know?
Something about your face.
As long as it weren't my words you heard say that, but you sort of took that from my own presentation of self. I guess that does make me feel better. Being known is a mystery to me. Being known is violent to me, apparently. But you promise. The way you were in there, you were free. You were young. You were thriving. Now I know that can be addictive. As addictive as drink.
I'll promise to try my best to not to go into a bird again.
Jonathan smacks Max on the back and he says, and you don't remind me of anything about my ex-girlfriend. Let's go!
Yeah.
And gallops off to the courthouse.
Yeah, we star wipe for some reason to the courthouse. You find yourselves now at the courthouse. There's large Roman columns. There's large stone steps here. It's a fucking courthouse. You know exactly what it looks like. There's mailboxes everywhere. Lawyers walk up and down, in and out of the courthouse. You look around, but Boneyard McKinley doesn't seem to be anywhere in sight.
The bird's memory told me he'd come here, but I don't see him.
In lieu of outside, perhaps the bane is inside, where we may be forced to travel soon.
Did you say we're going in?
Don't make me. You're rubbing off on me, damn it.
Oh boy, my time as a horse made it very clear that I was not welcome inside of government buildings, so hopefully they judge me by my top half. I'll go in there, I'll trot right on in there. Come on.
All right, just this one time, we all going in.
You guys head into the courthouse, and once inside, you see there is a large metal detector. This is a court of law.
Yeah.
You just bring guns in here. You have to walk in through this large metal detector. It is manned by a halfling, a single halfling in a uniform. He waves at you. This way. Hi, guys.
Hi, thank you. What's your name?
Pardon?
What's your name?
Oh, Penis Mathingly.
Oh, I'm Jonathan.
Glad to hear it. Won't you boys just step through the metal detector?
My pleasure.
Yes, as soon as I tie my shoe. And Max bends over to tie his shoe and starts trying to hack the metal detector.
Yeah, absolutely. Make a hack and roll on that metal detector.
That is a natural 20. The Google D20 is on my side tonight.
This rules. I'm glad this is going well. I like this. This like game-breaking power like should be exploited like this. Yeah, you hack in, and once again, it's just like the world disappears into just zeros and ones, and it's you find yourself again in this black void, and created through into the black void. It just like sort of beamed in like Star Trek style with just zeros and ones. The metal detector appears in front of you.
Well, Matt, metal detector, I need a favor.
It nods.
Listen, make sure that when we walk through, it reads on the display, absolutely nothing wrong here.
It puts a digital hand of zeros and ones out, and it touches your shoulder. Understanding passes between the two of you. It nods again.
Dad?
It puts a finger to its mouth and says,
I'm hiding in the digital world, my son.
And it disappears, and you're no longer in the digital realm.
I'm tying my shoe in a gel. Father! Sorry.
Tommy grabs his shoulder. You're lying? I mean, are you all right?
I'm okay.
You promised me you wouldn't go back in that digital world.
Yeah, I was just tying my shoe. I think it's safe for us to go through with all our stuff.
And Jonathan Large trots right through that metal detector wearing a gigantic black iron spiked pauldron, you know, carrying a 75-pound spiked flail. He's going through with a lot of metal, and
this is a prop.
Nothing happens.
The metal detector, it beeps and a green light flashes atop it, and there's a little screen on it that reads, nothing to see here.
Tommy Whistle steps through with his revolver in his holster and a belt, a big old belt.
Penis Mattingly can just completely see the revolver. It is in plain sight. He looks at it and goes, I don't know. But as you step through the metal detector, it beeps and a green light flashes above it. And the screen reads, the safest man there ever was. He shrugs.
Yep. It's just an affectation.
Hey, you don't have to tell me about prop guns. I'm a sketch comedian.
Tommy Whistle holds up his palm.
No, for real. My group, we're so funny.
That's all right.
On the way out, I'll tell you. We got a show coming up on Friday.
I'm sure you have a lot of fun.
We do things a little different. Yeah, we dance as we do scene changes.
Really?
Max nods to Penis and says, Penis? And walks through.
He nods, stranger. As you walk through, the metal detector beeps, there's a green light, and the metal detector flashes green, and the screen reads, your mother and I love you so much.
You see just little tears coming out from under his little sunglasses as he walks forward into the courthouse.
You're into the courthouse now. You've made it past the metal detectors, and you're inside. All around you, you see, the churning machinery of law. The beating heart of this wretched city that chews up criminals like me and spits us out. Oh, I hate this place so much. There's lawyers crawling over every surface, but you're in.
Max, I know the look of longing when I see it. You're trying to go back into that digital world again. Stay out here with us. Whatever temptations that are in there, family, power, they're not real. Out here is real, with the bounty hunters.
I mean, it's real to me, damn it. It's real to me. Max looks at his keyboard and looks up and says, I can do my best to stay in this world, but there's power in there that we need.
Tommy, asking young Max Logan here to step away from his keyboard would be like asking you to step away from your gun, your tongue, or your loneliness.
But those three things define me and give me strength.
There you go.
All right. Do what you gotta do. I may not like it, but who gives a fig what a frog likes? He takes out his revolver. Let's go kill a politician.
Everyone screams and people, like, hit the ground.
Yeah.
Tommy, no! Tommy, you can't draw a gun in a courthouse!
People are running from you, they're knocking over filing cabinets, they're going, my God, he's got a gun!
It's okay, we're just here to kill a guy.
Oh, everyone calms down, they go back about their business, the filing cabinet just, like, by its own volition, fixes itself and stands upright. Somebody looks at you with the faces, I'm so sorry, this is embarrassing.
Okay, it's scary.
It's me, Tim Platt, and I'm recording an album.
I ask my dentist to make my teeth like beak, teeth like beak.
It's my very first stand-up album, and I need to pack out the house to get some of those laughs on record.
But then my dentist, he make each tooth sharp like each tooth.
It's Tim Platt's Teeth Like Beak, An Hour of Joy, the album recording at Union Hall in Brooklyn, New York on February 29th. There's an early show at 7:30 and a late show at 10 p.m., so you can come to both. You'll see an intimate show of musical comedy, absurd jokes, and maybe, for once, a little honesty. Go to the Union Hall website or go to my link tree at linktr.ee/Timothy Platt. linktr.ee/Timothy Platt.
And he won't give me a refund. No, he won't give me a refund. No, he won't give me a refund because I paid him in lap dance.
It's on February 29th, and please, I need people to be there. You'll also have a great time. It's a great show I'm proud of, and I need some I'd like some people to be there.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Using his powerful frog nostrils, Tommy Whistle takes a deep inhale, trying to sense the scent of that anti-mayor.
So listeners, we're just coming back from a quick little break here. We didn't know if frogs are good at smelling or not, and Tim assured us that they are. So Tim's reputation rests on this. I'm letting him roll perception with advantage here because Tim promises me that frogs have excellent senses of smell.
I guess the nose formed first with the amphibians, and that's what makes them so powerful.
Just roll.
18!
Okay, roll again.
He was right.
4.
You get to keep that 18, though.
Wahaha.
You smell all around you, and yet, yes, you got a sense of this guy. You got the smell. He smells, you know what he smells like is a freshly kissed baby's forehead.
Mm.
The scent of Boneyard McKinley is sort of unmistakable, and you do smell it up ahead. Up ahead of you, there's a long hallway with 8 doors on each side. It's just like a Scooby-Doo hallway of many, many doors. And somewhere up in front of you is Boneyard McKinley. You know, it's probably towards the back. But you're also, because you're smelling so well, you get the smell of paper, you get the smell of briefcases, you get the smell of overruled, you get it all.
Jonathan, he's there behind that door. Might as well use our tank and bust in.
All right. Here we go.
And Jonathan, like, revs up his hooves as though they were Sonic the Hedgehog turning into a wheel of motion, unable to distinguish them. And then he says,
hop on, boys. I'm about to take off.
Are you sure of this time?
Yes.
Max grabs the top of the back of the, like, horse body of Jonathan and just hangs and can't pull himself up at all because he has no strength.
Leapfrogging over him is Tommy Whistle. But behind Tommy Whistle, as he's leapfrogging, he has dropped his tongue. His tongue is now behind him for you to grab, should you choose.
I'll grab it. And Max puts his hands on just sort of the wet tube of your tongue and hopefully it's sort of sliding in place.
Yeah, Tommy, can you make a strength roll for me?
Ooh, 12. Yeah.
That's not great, but he's not a heavy guy. So yeah, you're able to pull him up just a little bit. You sort of pull your tongue back into your mouth and it pulls you just enough, Max. You are now resting firmly on Jonathan Large's ass.
I'm in.
I can't keep the charge anymore!
And Jonathan Large, like, must release and explodes down the hallway through the door.
Kick up a trail of papers, and you smash through the door at the very end of the hallway, leaving the unmistakable silhouette of a buff centaur being ridden by a frogman cowboy and an elf hacker with a sharp ponytail. Mm-hmm. Anyone just looking off the street would be like, oh, I see what happened here to this door.
Of course.
As you leave that silhouette, Roger Rabbit style,
in like the door. Like the Kool-Aid man.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, as you smash into that room. And there you see Boneyard McKinley. He stands over a cut sash, a ribbon that says grand opening, with a large pair of golden scissors. He says, fools, you underestimate me. Watch this. And he, the scissors are closed and he opens them.
What?
And as he does, the sash reforms into one piece.
Huh?
Don't you realize I'm an anti-mayor? And as such, I have a pair of anti-scissors, which can fix anything. I can put anything together, you see.
He can undo anything a mayor would do.
This is the opposite of destructive. If only there was a word for it.
But there isn't. Anything a mayor can cut, I can mend. Watch this! And at that, Jonathan, he's going to move the scissors near your hair. They're closed now, and he opens them again, and your hair grows about 2 feet behind you.
Oh. I mean, thanks. Yeah, I really wasn't happy with my last haircut, so I appreciate that.
Hmm, a lower stakes demonstration than I had hoped. What about this? And he's going to, he slides the scissors in between your two front horse legs.
Oh, no.
And he opens them again, and your legs combine and congeal together into one large center foreleg. You're now shaped like Mr. Bean's rival's car.
No. I'm a tripod.
That design's very dangerous. He could topple over at any second.
That's right. It all depends on which way the wind blows. And at that, Boneyard McKinley is going to huff and puff and blow as hard as he can against Jonathan Large to see if he can knock you over. Jonathan, can you make a strength saving throw with disadvantage because you've got this New Balance situation? You don't know what to make heads or tails of.
Sure. Oof. Well, neither were good. A seven.
A seven is not going to beat the 14 that Boneyard McKinley rolled, and you fall over to the ground. He cackles.
No!
I'm the anti-mayor, and I cause civic mayhem wherever I go.
Yeah, Jonathan Large falls, like, in a slow motion that was, like, filmed at regular speed, so it's mostly stills of each frame of him falling down before crashing with, like, a ridiculous overdub thud.
No! Tommy, what do we do?
No! Jonathan, my friend, my peer! Tommy rolls off the fallen horseman, and as he rolls, his revolver is out. He says,
back up. You get up or I'll fire. I know there's gasoline all over your body. It might just blow up.
Might I? But what if I were to? And he moves the scissors forward, and they're closed again, and he spreads them right next to the opening of your revolver. And a new piece of the revolver forms as he spreads the anti-scissors. And a new piece of the revolver forms, and it's curled back, facing at you now.
Why? But I usually pull the trigger. But now the pistol's facing me. But I'm so used to pulling the trigger, I don't know what I might do next.
I guess it all depends on if you feel lucky, do you, punk?
Did you say there were Mai Tais here?
Did I? Did I say there were Mai
Tais? You said Mai Tai earlier.
I said a Mai Tai?
Oh, might I. Sorry. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
There is an open bar if you're interested. The lawyer's got to cut loose.
I'm going to make a Mai Tai, but I'm listening.
Okay.
God, what's in a Mai Tai? It's rum, I know.
It's definitely rum. Enough foolishness! Tommy, pull the trigger, I dare you. I dare you to pull the trigger. End my life if you think you're man enough.
His hand shakes.
The power of the cowboy is too strong. If I fail, everyone will know there's no such thing as goodness in this world.
And he pulls, and he pulls, and he pulls.
That's it. You're the anti-mayor, right?
Yes, I am the anti-mayor of Piss Harbor, and I will be its destruction.
Tommy reaches into his pocket and pulls out a wallet of bills.
I'd like to bribe you.
No. No, that won't work on me at all. I'm the anti-mayor. I don't accept bribes.
That's right. You will accept the bribe, but instead of pocketing it, you'll give it back to communities.
Wait, no! No! No, that's not...
He tosses the bills to his hand.
Against his own will, Boneyard McKinley's hands reach out. He drops the scissors, and he reaches out for the money. He goes, no! No! And the wallet pulls him forward outside of the room, and he's trying to, like, he's got his heels dug into the ground, into the tile floor, but he's being pulled by the wallet, and he goes, no, it's not supposed to be like this, it's not supposed to, and as he talks, the money flies out of the wallet, and each of the rooms in the hallway, the doors open up, and you see that one door is labeled, like, public education, and money flies out of the wallet into that room, and you hear a cheer from inside, hooray. You see another door, it's labeled infrastructure, and that door opens up and the money goes into there. You hear, hooray. One that says water and power, the door opens up and the money goes in there. He says, hooray. He goes, no, 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 no. And he drops the wallet and he runs down the hallway away from you at top speed, breakneck speed, dizzying speeds.
As he runs by, Max looks at Tommy and says, I have to go in one last time. He's sipping a Mai Tai that he just made and sets it down, starts clicking on his computer. I'm sorry, Tommy. It's the only way. And clicks and clicks and clicks.
Wait, wow. Wait, wow, though. The only way.
Tommy, it's too late. He makes a tech roll. I need you to make a hacking roll.
All right. Here we go. An unnatural 20.
Wow. Once again, Max... The entire courtroom, it fades away in zeros and ones and it disappears from you. And it turns again into that inky black void from before. And before you, again, Star Trek beamed down with zeros and ones. You see Boneyard McKinley running in the void, running and running. He looks around and goes, what? Goodness gracious, where am I? Who am I? As he looks at his hands and he sees the ones and zeros and he looks at you and he points at you and says, you! We flash out now and we see Tommy and Jonathan from your perspective. Max again is like sitting down crisscross applesauce on the ground, staring into his wristband, his computer wristband, and he is, it's looking worse than ever. He is glitching and flickering. He is about half of the time it's just static.
Jonathan, what do we do?
We have to let the computer kill him because it's what he wants. I respect everyone's right to die following their passions and hobbies.
Jonathan, it's taken me a long time to take in how really affirming you are of everything and everyone to their own detriment.
It's because I love nature so much and a big part of it is death.
Maybe it's the tonality of your voice that makes it a surprise for me, but I can see it. You're a good man.
Thank you, Tommy. You are a good frog.
Tommy extends one hand to Jonathan and then puts his other hand to Jonathan around Max. They're creating a power circle around Max and try to give him digital energy from their friendship because they're getting to know each other better, which can happen through digital mediums, maybe, and that can create a power circle that benefits Max. It is my suggestion, perhaps, to the DM.
For something you just pulled right out of your ass, that's pretty good. That is a pretty good explanation of, like, third spaces and how they exist digitally and how that's, like, all that can connect young people and that, like, are decaying. Yeah, okay. I will let you make a charisma roll to see if this helps.
Okay. Can it be within an advantage because he was next to such an affirming friend?
I'm already going out on quite a limb for you,
okay,
Tim.
Okay. Got an 18.
Yeah!
Tim, it works. You channel some of the digital damage that is occurring to Max right now. Max Login is really suffering from a lot of digital decay and glitching and damage, and you take some of it in you. You and Jonathan, you notice that he's no longer quite as staticky, quite as glitchy. He no longer looks like a DVD rip of a movie that you've watched like 700 times and it's starting to just break down. My Gremlins 2 DVD when I was in high school, I remember it just like, it an image will freeze on the screen and next scene will start and it's moving through that. Like, that digital noise sort of fades from him and you guys take it on. Not quite as much, but you're sharing in the damage. Back inside of the digital world, Boneyard McKinley faces down with Max Login,
says, "You! What is the meaning of this? What is this foul palace of zeros and ones you've brought me towards? Welcome to the digital world, where anything is possible. I can hack whatever I want. This place is my playground." "Is that so? Well, if anything is possible, then I suppose..."
And he snaps, and he splits into two. You see two Boneyard McKinleys.
"Even this is possible?"
Yeah, but wait.
"I don't know which one to hack, but I do know what I can hack."
Max is going to imagine Tommy's gun and imagine how it looped back at him and see if he can hack the barrel to loop all the way back forward again. So it's a revolver with this sort of a Hot Wheel loop in it.
Yeah, and so as you do that, we see now on the outside world, everyone's glitching and turning into static. And Tommy, you, your entire person, it just goes static and your form becomes ambiguous for a moment. And when it returns, you notice that your gun is no longer looped back at you. It's now got a full roller coaster loop-de-loop and it faces the correct direction.
"He's communicating with us. He's communicating with us, but what is it mean?"
"It means shoot, damn it, sure."
And Tommy, you see before you, you see Max Login is sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground, and he's glitchy. But you also see about 15 feet in front of him, Anti-Mayor Boneyard McKinley is also standing completely stationary. He has also been sucked into the digital world, and he is a target. He's completely defenseless.
Tommy raises his pistol. He narrows his eyes. He fires.
In slow motion, the bullet travels towards him. I'm going to have you make an attack roll. And while you make that roll, I'm going to describe what we see in the digital world. There's now a sea of Boneyard McKinleys. He's been doubling himself and doubling himself. He surrounds Max Login, and they're getting closer and closer, chanting,
"Anti-Mayor, Anti-Mayor, Anti-Mayor, Anti-Mayor."
One of them reaches out. He puts a hand on your shoulder. He says,
"Don't you see? We're connected. Anything that happens to me out there happens to you, too."
Tim, what was that attack roll?
14.
Oh, no.
It hits. You see in front of you is Boneyard McKinley. Shatters into 1,000 pieces. His body shatters into just digital noise. And then he glitches and glitches and he completely disappears. But just at the inside of the digital world, you see as he shouts, "No!" And one by one, all of the Boneyard McKinleys around you, they blink out and they disappear. They're creating a circuit. And it's almost like the final one, the one, they're like a spiral around you and the outer one starts disappearing. And it's like a fuse. And they're just like moving in closer and closer to you as they disappear and blink out of existence.
Max, as he sees them all sputtering out, lowers his sunglasses and says in an America Online voice,
"Goodbye."
Tommy, Jonathan, in the real world, you see as Max Login sputters and glitches, and he becomes digital noise until finally he shatters, just like Boneyard McKinley did.
"Oh, shit, that guy was gonna help me log into my email later. Seemed like a cool guy."
"I think one thing we've learned today is that, Jonathan, you gotta promise me that you're never gonna log in ever again. This man gave his life to us. And he did it by dissolving his connection to the real world for the fantasy of the digital space. You stay out here with the rest of us. Promise me that."
Jonathan's missing front horse leg appears out of nowhere. Just like there's nothing, and then there's like slightly miscolored blocks, pixels, if you will, forming the vague shape, and then they tighten and tighten and tighten into smaller and smaller pixels until it's just there's a leg there again, and he stands up.
"Yeah, okay, computers suck, fuck it."
We cut now. It's the next night. We cut now to the All Who Fell Memorial Park. There is a large statue of Max Login there. They really got moving on that statue. We see Tommy and Jonathan up to their old tricks again, still trying to teach Jonathan how to ride a horse.
"All right, I'm gonna get this time. I am going to become more like a good man. A good man rides a horse.
I can ride a horse. And Jonathan, with a full horse lower body, leaps onto a horse and says, yeah!
Jonathan, you're in.
I just made a strength roll on the horse. Jonathan, I got good news for you.
Yeah.
The back does not break. This is a Budweiser Clydesdale.
This statue almost looks like it's looking down at Jonathan successfully riding this horse, and you see sort of a one and zero kind of twinkle in its eye and a glistening of the sharpest ponytail you've ever seen.
I'm doing it. I'm in.
That was Hallie Fisher as Neil. Carly Minardo as Edgica. Christopher Hastings as Jonathan Large. Joe Lepore as Moose. Tim Blatt as Tommy Whistle. And Branson Reese as everything and everyone else, with one notable exception. Brew Tales of Magic is produced by Bucket of Milk. Edited by Sam Grant and sound designed and scored by Kodiak Sanders. Additional sound design from Michael Gelfi. As always, special thanks to Tyler Button and Sydney and Benjamin Paul. And special thanks to our guest, Zach Oyama. You can hear him right here on HeadGum on the Rotating Heroes podcast. Or check him out on Dimension 20. That's right, I did the outro in one take this time. This time, usually I fuck it up, but this time I went all the way, did it in one. We did it, Joe. We did it! Scoreboard! That's right! Aw, yeah! Get some! Get some! Aw, yeah! I'm doing the crotch jump! Whoa! Oh! I'm high!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.